They told the Mexican dictator in Gonzalez, come and take it. When it comes to our guns, Prats worried the current threat is from the north side of the Rio Grande. A Texan who understands the function of the Second Amendment. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas. Happy San Jacinto Day, victory for Texas. Don't forget, all our shows are podcast at PrattOnTexas.com. Our Lone Star story of the day, while companies who take our tax money decry bills that do not restrict voting but protect the votes of all, U.S. Representative Burgess Owens flames Democrats for comparing such to Jim Crow laws. Brilliant attack from Representative Owens. Also, Lubbock leaders again look to issue bond debt without a vote of the people. This is a disturbing trend across the state. We've got much legislative news out of Austin and the news of Texas, and we end the show by celebrating San Jacinto Day, my friends. Victory for liberty, victory for Texas. As always, it is, my friends, on this San Jacinto Day, a great day to be a Texan. That's right. It was in 1836 that General Costes arrived at San Jacinto with 500 reinforcements to join up with Santa Anna's part of the Mexican army. And General Sam Houston defeated Santa Anna at the Battle of San Jacinto. And you need to get to the monument and go through the museum. The website I'll talk about towards the end of the show is fantastic. The website for the museum. The monument, of course, taller than the Washington Monument. Everything's bigger in Texas. It's really great. And it was the 18-minute battle that changed the world and truly changed the world. So we all want to be celebrating today on San Jacinto Day. Now, our Lone Star story of the day, ladies and gentlemen, you've got all these companies that often get in our pockets out there decrying election reforms that they all call discriminatory, and it's quite obvious they haven't read these and don't care. They're just joining up with the radical left to political grandstand. And Burgess Owens, the new representative, good conservative from Utah, really just flamed him in D.C. A great piece at the Daily Caller quoting him. The regular leftist media will not want you to hear all of that. But let's start with the piece by Brad Johnson in the Texan.news. $2 billion in Texas subsidies have gone to companies opposing, quote, discriminatory, end quote, election reforms. That's right. Apple includes Apple, American Airlines, Uber, a lot of them. They've received over $2 billion from our money. The information was compiled by the Texas Public Policy Foundation, think tank, and supporter of election reform legislation here in the Lone Star State. Brad writes that total's likely even higher due to undisclosed subsidy amounts for multiple companies. Most of the public funds come from state and local subsidies, with the single biggest beneficiary being Berkshire Hathaway, run by Warren Buffett, which has pulled in $802 million for its subsidiary, Nebraska Furniture Mart, of all things. Why in the world we needed to subsidize retail stores, I don't know. But anyway, in response to an inquiry from the Texan, an assistant for Buffett told the Texan he did not criticize any specific election legislation and hasn't read individual laws in any of the states. And then he goes bloviates about whole democracy and all this. This is the point. None of them have read it because there is nothing in the Texas statutes that make registering to vote harder or make voting harder for anyone, period. Brian Phillips, a spokesman for the Texas Public Policy Foundation, told the Texan, Texans overwhelmingly support securing our elections and reforms that the state legislature is now addressing. And these companies are on the other side, vocally working to undermine basic individual rights and confidence in our election results. Through subsidies, Texans' generosity directly benefits these businesses. In the interest of full transparency, Texans should be aware of this in case they'd like to impress upon their state representatives to reconsider this arrangement. Speaker Dade Phelan asked for companies to, quote, point to me where in that bill they see voter suppression. Well, like Warren Buffett's spokesman said, they hadn't read it. They don't care. They're grandstanding for the left. Democrats across the state have decried the legislation as voter suppression, along with similar charges across the country. And again, there's no voter suppression in the bills. Author of Senate Bill 7, State Senator Brian Hughes, told the Texan, other than press releases with no specific criticisms of the bill, most of these corporations have not even attempted to participate in the legislative process. They didn't show up to testify, nor did they submit written testimony stating a position. Meanwhile, countless Texans have shared their concerns that their votes be counted fairly and accurately. This PR stunt just exposes how tone-deaf these corporations are to the concerns of the people of Texas. If these corporations are so offended by Texas policies, they could demonstrate their wokeness by returning the $2 billion of subsidies they've received from the taxpayers, Senator Hughes rightly pointed out. Very good. And then you got this, I don't know what kind of economist Ray Perryman is in the Perryman Group. There are a lot of people around Texas pay him for stuff, and he's just pure politicking. He's got this report out claiming that Texas would lose billions of dollars if these bills pass. I mean, crazy stuff. And even he said it's been shown time and time again in studies that date back to the 60s that when people have less access to voting, their earnings go down as a group. Well, Ray Perryman, we understand it. I've long known you were really a leftist mouthpiece. And you've proven it here because there's nothing in these bills that reduce access to voting. No, they just make the handful of places that decided to go beyond the law stick within the law like the rest of Texas 254 counties. Now, Burgess Owens really flamed them. Republican Utah Rep. Burgess Owens flamed Democrats Tuesday for comparing Georgia's recently instigated election law to Jim Crow era laws. Owens detailed his experiences under Jim Crow laws in the 1960s while appearing as a witness during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on voting rights. He argued against the disgusting and offensive comparison and told Democrats making the argument, "You know better." I sit today before you as someone who has lived the American dream, as have millions of other Americans of all races from every background, Owens said. But as someone who's actually experienced Jim Crow laws, I'd like to set the record straight on the myths regarding the recently passed Georgia state law and why any comparison between this law and Jim Crow is absolutely outrageous. He went on to say he attended protests against segregation, went to a school that received secondhand books from a nearby school for white children, and had to use a filthy restroom at service stations that were designated for colored people. He added that during that time, in addition to poll tax and literacy tests, intimidation at the polls made it nearly impossible for black Americans to vote. By the way, those were Democrats doing all that. This is just beautiful what Owen said. What I find extremely offensive is the narrative from the left that black people are not smart enough, not educated enough, not desirous enough for education to do what every other culture and race does in this country. Get an ID. Owens said later in his testimony, true racism is this projection of the Democratic Party on my proud race. It's called the soft bigotry of low expectation. Have you heard that on this show before? Of course you have, because this is exactly what it is. It's the bigotry of the left. Owens concluded, to call this Jim Crow 2021 is an insult, my friends. For those that never lived Jim Crow, we're not in Jim Crow. For black Americans to go out every single day and vote the way we feel we should is a right we should have, and not be demeaned by something 60 years ago in which we had no right to do any of the above. It is the typical bigotry, soft or not. I like that quote from Bush, but it's really hard bigotry of the left. Well, black people and other minorities are too unable, because of their ethnicity or race, to get an ID. They're unable to vote over 2 weeks of early voting in the same time periods as other people. Oh, no. This prevents them from voting. Owens is right, and any honest person should be able to see this for what it is. Absolute bigotry from Democrats and the left making the argument that minorities somehow can't do the daily things that everybody else does, that minorities somehow can't request their own absentee ballot like everybody else does. Oh no, you got to have it sent to them by their paternalistic Democratic left-wing father down at the courthouse. This is bigotry. Soft, hard, whatever you want to call it, it's racist bigotry, and it is absolutely par for the course in the Democratic Party and the left, ladies and gentlemen.
Fred on Texas returns after we hear from the folks who make the show possible.
An important message about protecting life from Elizabeth and Dustin Burroughs.
Did you hear that 23 cities in Texas have now outlawed abortion? If they can do it, why hasn't Lubbock?
Well, Lubbock can. We have a chance to protect life on May 1st. By becoming the next sanctuary city for the unborn.
I'm just shocked that Lubbock isn't already a sanctuary for life.
Well, that's why Senator Charles Perry, myself, and many pro-life advocates supported a City of Lubbock election on May 1st.
It seems we must defend the unborn in Lubbock, so what else can we do?
Well, we all have to show up to vote on May 1st. We have to pass this ordinance.
We in Lubbock know the value of life.
That's why Elizabeth and I are proud to join so many churches, pastors, and other people of faith in supporting this election on May 1st. You can learn more on my website at burrows4tx.com. That's burrows, the number 4tx.com. God bless you. God bless the unborn. And please go vote for life on May 1st. Political ad paid for by Burrows for Texas.
Native Texan, or just got here as soon as you could. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Happy Victory Day in Texas to you all. It is San Jacinto Day. Well, we won victory for Texans on this day in 1836. What about victory down in the Capitol for good bills and defeat for bad bills? As always, it'll be somewhat of a mixed bag. One of the interesting bills that was passed in the Senate is on investigative hypnosis. Lauren McGaughey, writing for the Dallas Morning News, or the Democrat Morning Snooze, says the Senate passed a bill Tuesday aimed at cracking down on the use of hypnosis in criminal cases. SB 281 by Senator Chuianosa of McAllen passed the chamber unanimously. It now heads to the House for further debate. It's the first time this legislation's gotten traction here. The bill would prohibit any statements made by crime victims or witnesses during a hypnosis session from being used in criminal court. Now, he's authored this bill before. It gained renewed attention this year, and that's why they're crowing about it at the Morning Snooze, because the Dallas Morning News published a series exposing how police in Texas use hypnosis to investigate crimes despite scientific evidence that it can distort memory and lead to wrongful convictions. I think some of that's true, but also natural memory often is distorted and can lead to bad things. After the news series, the Texas Department of Public Safety ended its 40-year hypnosis program and said it would shift to more advanced interview and interrogation techniques that yield better results. In addition to making statements elicited under hypnosis inadmissible in court, Inahosa said his bill would also ban any identifications of suspects made solely after hypnosis. During an exchange between Inahosa and Senator Joan Huffman, the senator said statements made after hypnosis were in fact admissible, so there's some confusion there. Any statements made prior to the actual hypnosis session are admissible, correct? Huffman asked, and he said they are. So, you know, if they're made before, I guess it's okay. After, statements made after would be admissible. Oh, yeah, he said any statements made after would be admissible. She asked, he said, yeah, they're admissible. Huffman's a former prosecutor and judge, so she knew the questions to ask, also successfully amended the bill Tuesday to add that while statements made under hypnosis would be inadmissible in court, any corroborating evidence investigators derived from those statements could be used against the accused. That was a very important amendment. That means that a victim who gave police new details about a crime while in a trance-like state under hypnosis wouldn't be able to take the stand and testify about the statements, but police could pursue leads based on that information, such as seeking out physical evidence like DNA or a weapon. And that was, again, a very good amendment. So that's one you probably hadn't heard much about. President Donald J. Trump Wall would receive $20 million from the Texas Arts Fund under a new proposal. This will spin, get all the establishment people all in a spin and a tizzy down in Austin. The Texan Dot News, Hayden Sparks reporting, as the House prepares to consider the proposed budget tomorrow, Representative Brian Slayton filed an amendment to redirect more than $20 million in the coming two fiscal years from the Texas Commission on the Arts to a Border Security Enhancement Fund. It would reassign over $10 million from the arts each year and include specific directions to fund the construction to department and federal specifications for similar infrastructure of a wall to be named the President Donald J. Trump Wall. Slayton alerted the Texan this week that multiple counties, including Kinney County, are preparing to declare states of emergency over the amount of human smuggling occurring along the border. I filed a bill to create a fund and then presented a rider to put the money into the fund, and both of those have been basically killed. They're not getting any traction, so I decided to come up with another one, meaning the amendment to the budget, because I think it's important. He said he's aware of lawmakers who are excited and supportive and ready to vote for it. Yeah, there are a handful. There are a few. But he believes the amendment will depend on whether House leadership views it favorably, of course, and they won't. Maybe, who knows? His proposed amendments, among hundreds of amendments that they're going to debate and try to get included on Senate Bill 1, it's the Senate's turn this year to do the two-year budget, and so the Senate got it out first. Now the House goes to amending it. Governor Abbott's dodging questions about constitutional carry or permitless carry. That's right, it passed in the House. Statesman had a piece saying that Abbott dodged a question this week on whether he would sign a bill that would end the permit requirement to carry a handgun. I mean, it's already legal to carry long guns. And if the Senate approved it, now, we don't know. The lieutenant governor says there are not votes in the Senate, but said he's meeting with the advocates, and if they can figure out a way to get the votes, then he'll move the bill. But Greg Abbott, that's one of those issues. It's kind of divided out there, so instead of jumping on the red meat, he's doing his normal fence sitting. He could really help push that forward, but he doesn't seem to want to at this point. And here's a great one. You folks in Wichita Falls, oh, Woody Gossom, your county judge who got in all kinds of trouble over this, taking this judicial stipend, a big one, to his salary. He's of course, pushing for this. What's the headline in the American Statesman? If approved, this Texas bill would allow county judges to qualify for a $25,000 salary boost. Here's how it begins, a story by Asher Price. A central Texas lawmaker wants to loosen restrictions for county judges to qualify for an annual $25,200 salary boost from the state. It's Representative Terry Wilson of Marble Falls, and he's just simply doing the bidding of the County Judges Association. Says he's proposed lowering the bar for the time county judges must spend on judicial duties to qualify for the salary supplement. Why? Only guy that's ever gotten in trouble with it. Well, two guys, but really Woody Gossom. Under current law, they must dedicate 40% of their time to judicial duties to qualify for the money, which is calculated at 18% of a state district judge's salary, which is currently $140,000. Wilson, Representative Wilson's proposed bringing that bar down to 18% of time spent on judicial duties. So right now it's 40% of time. Wilson did not make himself available for an interview, but in an email said, he said officials with the, and of course, here you go, the Texas County Judges and Commissioners Association brought the matter to his attention. I bet they did. A Wilson spokesperson said he consulted with county judges in his district about the bill. I bet he did. And then not any of these reps had ought to vote for this bill. Back in 1997, the ledge established a salary supplement to county judges if at least 40% of their performed duties are judicial functions. This is particularly important in smaller counties. Supplement originally was set at $5,000. It's now supported by a $40 filing fee in civil cases and a $15 criminal court cost collected by county clerks. A 2019 paper by the Legislative Budget Board encouraged the legislature to improve oversight of the county judge salary supplement. And that's a lot of this, that Woody Gossom case and others. Yeah, we don't need to be lowering the bar. We need to be making sure these people are actually doing what they say they're going to do, that they're doing to get the extra money. Judge Woody Gossom of Wichita County, who spoke in favor of the bill at the committee hearing, told the Statesman the legislation would bring needed clarity. Well, he's one of the only people that hadn't had clarity about it. Typical. Oh, boy. Do I even want to get into this one? Oh, who knows. Fair or cruel is the headline. Fair or cruel, question mark. Texans offer two views of legislation that would target transgender girls. Now, this is Aria Jones and Chuck Lindell at the Statesman. And it's just agendized media. The first line, legislation that would ban transgender girls. First, there are no transgender girls. There are boys and there are girls. And there are boys who pretend to be girls and girls who pretend to be boys. Then later, the next line, it would target vulnerable school children. It doesn't target anybody. And this woman who claims to be a bishop suffragan of the Episcopal Church, Episcopal Diocese in Texas, says the bill invites further discrimination. It does nothing to raise fairness or safety for young women and girls in sports. Well, we know where the Episcopals have gone, far left. And Jennifer Evans with Save Women's Sports says, do transgender athletes have a right to compete in the world of athletics? Absolutely. But not at the cost of destroying Title IX by deciding which sex they get to compete as. If we allow this to continue, it'd be the end of women's sports as we know it. What's really interesting is how there's a whole section in this story claiming, and with quotes, that there have been no problems in Texas. All forgetting this story in Reuters. In February of 2017, transgender teenage wrestler wins Texas State Championship. That's right. It has been going on. Back in a moment, my good friends.
Keep that six-shooter at your side. Front on Texas will be right back after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
From the statehouse to the courthouse, they know Frant's watching. Here he comes with more Frant on Texas.
Welcome back. Happy San Jacinto Day. Victory for Texas to you. In the next segment, we celebrate San Jacinto Day. Well, there was a headline in the Lubbock mudslide, otherwise known as the Avalanche Journal. Lubbock City Council to consider $27.9 million bond. Here's some quotes you need to hear. There's been talk of a bond election to fund several key projects and a future bond election still on the table. However, prior to that, the city council is considering issuing $27.9 million in bonds without a public vote. The three projects, a new fire station, some Erskine Street widening, and pavement of 5 miles of dirt roads across the city. Says members of the city council voted to direct the city manager to start preparing documents regarding a possible certificate of obligation issuance for the three projects. At the next meeting on Tuesday, 27 April, the city council will formally consider the notice of intent to issue CO bonds. Those are bonds that they issue in your name, debt in your name that keeps your taxes high, that you don't get to vote on. This has become an absolute annual habit in the city of Lubbock and across the state, and it needs to stop. Councilwoman Joy, it says in here, said the recommendation to issue CO bonds, not taking it to a public vote, is because the projects need to start as soon as possible. Isn't that just typical? Oh, well, we don't want to ask the people because we want to spend their money and put them in debt right away. The impact on the tax rate will need to be discussed at the upcoming council meeting. When the council discussed issuing bonds at a meeting in February, city staff said because of debt rolling off, some of the projects could be funded without a tax increase. Note the word some. And secondly, that means your taxes could go down if they let the debt roll off that's paid off instead of issuing new debt all the time to fill it up. And later, the last line of the story, a bond election for some or all the projects is still under consideration. Very clearly, though, they intend to move forward on a bunch of these without a vote of the people. This is something that needs to be stopped. And if they can't stop it and voters won't stop it, the legislature needs to stop it. People need to have a right to vote on the debt. That is the tradition. That's how it's been done until the last few years when all over the state, local councils are simply issuing debt as certificates of obligation. Without a vote of the people, Lubbock took over a derelict high-rise, built a new city hall in it, and then decided to change policing in the city and build four regional substations, all without a vote of the people, all recently. Stuff that historically always would have required a buy-in from the people. It's happening everywhere, and it needs to stop. Big Bend Border Patrol agents arrested three fugitives for attempted homicide. Fox West Texas reporting out Dateline Marfa that the men committed a crime in Abilene and traveled to the Big Bend to escape. U.S. Marshals got the info to Border Patrol, which brought in Ezekiel Cepeda, Robert Cepeda Jr., and Roberto Cepeda Ramirez. Great example of how the partnerships work, they said. Fire at Big Bend National Park is now 80% contained. This has been burning for a while. Chisos Basin to reopen on Friday. KOSA reporting out of the Petroplex that they've about got it fully contained, and they've no longer deemed the fire a threat to developed areas, and the Park Service, the National Park Service, has scheduled to open the Chisos Basin on Friday at 11 a.m. By the way, rest in peace, Mike Pritchard, a great Lubbock musician, always gave his all on stage. I mean, really gave it for the audience. Mike has died at 69 years of age. He was one of the great songwriters and performers. It really helped develop the Lubbock sound, which is actually what the Austin sound is now. And rest in peace, Mike. Terrible to hear that he passed away. Man killed on a bus after being confronted by VIA police. VIA is the transit system in San Antonio. And the Express News story says that Witherell, I guess is a spokesman, said the incident started when the department received a call about a man with a gun. About 7 minutes after the call came for help, two police officers arrived. They entered the bus, which had stopped near the intersection, and encountered the man in his 20s. He did not immediately know what transpired between the officers and the man. Moments later, at least two shots were fired. The man died at the scene. Did you catch that? 7 minutes. If that guy wanted to kill the bus driver and any other passengers and anybody else, they would have all been dead. This is why we need more good guys, more law-abiding people carrying firearms everywhere. 7 minutes for the cop to get there. He could have killed everybody on the bus, gone out on the street and killed a whole bunch of people there, walked in a business and killed them. It's just physics, folks. The police can't be there instantly. When seconds count, police are minutes away. In this case, 7 long minutes away. Oh, but Robert, more people with guns, more crime. No, it doesn't work that way. More people with guns, more law-abiding people with guns, the crime rates go down. The fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, a sign or a law against having that gun or killing anybody doesn't stop anybody who's intent on killing people. Oh, well, we'll make it harder to get guns and they won't have them. Really? Britain's an island. It can't keep guns out and all of its gangs are armed. San Antonio police fatally shot a suspect in a backyard slaying. This happened Tuesday night. 49-year-old man went in a shed and killed a man who was there. Person drove up, went in the shed and shot him and killed him right there, said General McManus. He's a police chief. We call him General because he acts and thinks it like he's a general. The victim's wife opened fire on the man. She was prepared, but see, if they'd had the firearm right away, maybe the bad guy'd be dead instead of the guy that was just in his shed. But the wife opened fire and the man wasn't clear whether he was struck. When officers arrived, the man started shooting at them, so police killed him. Texas teacher accused of sexually abusing middle school boy after befriending him through a video game. We had a story of this on early in the week. We got another one. This is a really good-looking woman, too. Marka Bodine, or Bodine, 31, says she started having sex with the boy in 2018, soon after his 13th birthday. He was arrested on Saturday, 5 days after a now 16-year-old came forward with the allegations. KPRC reports that Bodine said the former student was making threats to hurt himself. In addition, she allegedly claimed he had somehow accessed private photos of her and then he used those to manipulate her. When they spoke to the former student, the boy alleged Bodine had befriended him via an online video game. They started texting and soon after began exchanging explicit images and videos. The alleged victim told detectives the two first had sex shortly after he turned 13. This is a teacher. And the abuse continued for more than 2 years. They said they had sex in her classroom and in her car. And according to the affidavit, she confessed during the interviews with police. Buffalo Gap Man's been arrested for child pornography. KRBC reporting that Alden Cooper was taken into custody. The police say he uploaded stuff to the cloud and it said he admitted viewing the child pornography. And how about this? Don't turn your back. Mitchell County Sheriff's Office says 20-year-old Jonathan Sosa of Colorado City ran out the door when a jailer turned his head around 10 p.m. on Monday. That from KRBC. They got the DPS and everybody got the tracking dogs out and they found him at his mother's house in Colorado City. And oh, that very interesting story about the Tesla that crashed and burned. Houston Chronicle has an update. Memorial Hermann doctor, but this is another example because somebody has credentials or is a doctor doesn't mean they're very smart. Memorial Hermann doctor was one of two men killed Saturday in that apparently driverless Tesla crash in the Woodlands. Dr. William Varner. Varner was a tremendous human being, blah, blah, blah. They said he may have been. Varner, a 59-year-old anesthesiologist, lived on Hammock Dunes Place where the crash occurred. Harris County Institute of Forensic Science hadn't identified him, another man, a 69-year-old. They're all saying, well, that's this driverless stuff in the Tesla. Well, Elon Musk disputes that. He said data logs recovered so far show autopilot was not enabled and this car did not purchase full self-driving capability. Moreover, standard autopilot would require lane lines to turn on, which this street did not have. Neither feature makes the car autonomous. It just, anyway, that was the thing. Oh, my gosh, these guys weren't even in the driver's seat. They were just letting it drive itself. Musk is saying that car that you're talking about wasn't even sold with that function. Sadly, that hadn't stopped everybody in the press down there, including a fire chief, from jumping ahead of the story, claiming that it was because of the driverless technology. Back in a moment, my friends.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
An important message about protecting life from Elizabeth and Dustin Burroughs.
Did you hear that 23 cities in Texas have now outlawed abortion? If they can do it, why hasn't Lubbock?
Well, Lubbock can. We have a chance to protect life on May 1st by becoming the next sanctuary city for the unborn.
I'm just shocked that Lubbock isn't already a sanctuary for life.
Well, that's why Senator Charles Perry, myself, and many pro-life advocates supported a City of Lubbock election on May 1st.
It seems we must defend the unborn in Lubbock, so what else can we do?
Well, we all have to show up to vote on May 1st. We have to pass this ordinance.
We in Lubbock know the value of life.
That's why Elizabeth and I are proud to join so many churches, pastors, and other people of faith in supporting this election on May 1st. You can learn more on my website at burrows4tx.com. That's burrows, the number 4, tx.com. God bless you, God bless the unborn, and please go vote for life on May 1st. Political ad paid for by Burrows for Texas.
Welcome to the show, where Juan Seguin, Sam Houston, and the Alamo are revered equally as Washington, Jefferson, and Concord. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
It is indeed Victory Day in Texas. Happy San Jacinto Day to every one of you, ladies and gentlemen. And we always take time to celebrate those who won our freedom as Texans, won the idea of being Texans. The Battle of San Jacinto against all odds. The San Jacinto Museum website has fabulous histories, and I recommend today you go and take a look at all of those. This is from that site. The final battle between the Mexican forces under Santa Anna's command and the Texians under the command of Sam Houston occurred where it did because both armies were headed for Lynch's Ferry at the point where both Buffalo Bayou and the San Jacinto River flowed together into the bay. On the morning of April 20th, the Texas Army moved onto the field first and took control of Lynch's Ferry, then countermarched to a dense grove of oak trees between the Harrisburg-Lynchburg Road and Buffalo Bayou. Anyone going to the ferry had to pass close by this wooded area. The Mexican Army, that time they had been split up into several areas, the part headed by Santa Anna, numbered about 750 troops. They arrived around noon, marching in columns along the new Washington-Lynchburg Road. As they approached the Texas Army hidden in the trees, a skirmish line was formed and advanced to make contact with the Texians. The Mexicans moved up a cannon and started firing at the Texas camp. Sidney Sherman, commander of the 2nd Regiment, asked for and received permission to lead volunteers from the cavalry in an attempt to capture the gun. The Mexicans withdrew the gun, and this ended the action on April 20th. When Santa Anna came on the field, he deployed the rest of his army along the ridgeline where the San Jacinto Monument is now. By the way, if you've never gone, you should go. And after the Texian attempt to take the field gun, he, against the advice of his officers, abandoned the high ground and moved the army into camp about 200 yards east with marsh and water to his back and right. The next morning, General Martin Perfecto de Cos, with reinforcements of 500 troops, arrived and was put into line between the north end of the breastwork and the bluff line along the marsh of San Jacinto Bay to the east. This increased the Mexican troops to about 1,250, while the Texians numbered about 930. Inexplicably, the Mexicans posted no sentries, pickets, or lookouts that afternoon, a devastating error, which allowed the Texians to advance across the low ground over the ridgeline into a short distance in front of the breastworks before being detected. This surprise was one of the major factors in the Texas victory. The 2nd Regiment, under the command of Sidney Sherman, formed the left of the Texian line and, advancing through some trees along the top of the bluff, had proceeded slightly ahead of the rest of the Texas line. The battle started where Sherman's men hit the right of the Mexican line. Taken unawares, the Mexican army was never able to organize, and the result was a rout. Remember the Alamo! Remember Goliad! Was the battle cry of the vengeful Texians, who pressed their advantage hard, driving the fleeing Mexicans into the marsh. The fighting lasted about 18 minutes. That's right, folks, the 18 minutes that changed the world. Mexican casualties were high. About 630 soldiers lost their lives. Another 700 were taken prisoner, including Santa Anna, who was found later hiding in the tall grass of the marshlands. The defeated general was brought before Sam Houston and later agreed to leave Texas with the remnants of both his army and his dignity. For Mexico, the defeat was the beginning of a downhill martial and political spiral that would result in the loss of nearly a million square miles in territory. For the Texians, their victory led to annexation into the United States and the United States' war with Mexico. In the end, the U.S. would gain not only Texas, but also New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, California, Utah, and parts of Oklahoma, Kansas, Colorado, and Wyoming. As a result of the Battle of San Jacinto, almost a third of what is now the United States of America changed ownership. That's right, it's about 3:30. Houston advanced silently on the Mexican encampment, hoping to surprise them in the afternoon. At 4:30, Mexican Colonel Delgado, in his account of the battle, notes, "No important incident took place until 4:30 p.m. At this fatal moment, the bugler on our right signaled the advance of the enemy upon that wing. After about 20 minutes of intense fighting at or near the breastworks, the Mexicans retreated. The Texians, this is about 5 o'clock, Texians pursued for more than an hour, driving them to the water's edge. Santa Ana was found the next day on the 22nd. Happy San Jacinto Day. And we celebrate with one of the only songs about San Jacinto Day. There's so much in the Alamo, not much about Victory Day, but the Dimes have a great piece called The Battle of San Jacinto. And this, my friends, is it. All right, now I'm sorry for those of you listening on the podcast. You can't hear the music due to these ridiculous licensing rules. But you can go search online, look for The Battle of San Jacinto by the Dimes. You can hear it, I think, on Spotify and Apple Music, maybe some other places too. Take a moment to keep yourself refreshed with the sacrifices made for your liberty. Seriously, visit sanjacinto-museum.org. You'll find all kinds of materials. Make sure the young folks in your house and the imports to Texas know all about the victory at San Jacinto. Well, my friends, long live liberty. Long live Texas, and may God continue to bless us all. Adios, mis amigos. It's hard to explain why my greatest customer service experience wasn't at a luxury resort or private club, but was going to the dentist in Costa Rica, Dr. Silvia Zuniga of Dental Care. There are big Costa Rica practices which, while saving you big money, work just like they do here, herding patients through as fast as possible to increase billings. That's not how Dr. Silvia Zuniga works. Silvia's practice is purposely small and personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. My entire trip cost us less than half my lowest quote at home, including hotel for a week, restaurants, airfare for both of us, and local transport, and much more dental work than those local quotes covered. I had it all done. No wonder my Lubbock neighbor had been using her for his dental work for years, and now you can visit Texas Tech's new Costa Rica campus nearby. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.